Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
I want to talk about family today. You know, first of all, let's just look at what the definition of family is. And according to the Webster's Dictionary, a family is a group of people who are related to each other. It could also be a person's children. It could be a group of related people, including people who lived in the past. And sometimes we talk about it. You know, we hear a lot and we see advertisements on TV like groups that do genealogy research and ancestor.com. And you can go back and you can look up and see who some of your ancestors were, who your family was in the past. And you find out whether you came from some aristocracy, or maybe your family was horse thieves. You know, you may find it out. You may find out stuff you don't want to know when you go back and research that. And a family is also a group of people united by certain convictions or a common affiliation. And another word that it gives there is fellowship. We here, the Lord's House Fellowship, we're a family. Our common affiliation is the fact that we are born-again Christians, that we are serving Jesus Christ. So family is a group of people who are related. That includes our children, even those who might possibly be adopted. It can also mean united by convictions, such as we said here, a church family. And quite frankly, sometimes church family becomes more family to you than flesh and blood family might be. And some of you may have experienced that. I know when I was a kid, my dad had a number of brothers and sisters. I think there were like 11 kids in the family. And my mom had two brothers and a sister. And our family lived in Arkansas, and we packed up and moved to California. And basically, the only relative that was close to us for the next 20-some years of my life or more was my one aunt. And for a long time, she didn't have any children, so I basically grew up with an aunt and an uncle and no cousins around me or anything like that. And I know my grandkids kind of experience the same thing because they don't have any cousins around them either. So, you know, they're kind of going through some of what I went through there. But I really didn't know what family could be in some of the senses that we think about family. And so church became family. And then after I got married, of course, my wife's family came into the picture, and most of them didn't live there either. So we were still kind of in the same boat. And so for a while we told people that we were adopted. We were adopted by the Smith family. And that was because when I got back from Germany, we started going to a church and made friends with some people there, and two ladies that were sisters, and their mom and dad and their spouses and children and so on. But the ladies, their father's last name was Smith, and he and his wife were still alive at that time. And so we just became a part of their family. We went to their family gatherings, and you know, we just celebrated the 4th of July holiday, and a lot of you may have gone to some family events or something, or you may have had a get-together with family. And so there are times of the year that we have certain things that go on and the family celebrates together. We celebrated more family events with the Smith family than we did with either of our relatives. Of course, I really had almost no relatives out there. But that was the way it became, and we became adopted Smiths. And to this day, we're still very close to those folks and consider them very close and family and feel the same way about them. And of course, then there's our children. And some of you younger folks here don't have children yet. Someday you probably will. You know, you think about that. Your children makes a difference in your life, doesn't it? There's suddenly more than just you. You know, and let's face it, a lot of people, and you really see that a lot today, I think, younger people growing up, and it's all about me. the world revolves around me. You know, I'm the sun, the moon, and the stars. You all revolve around me. You know, whatever I want, that's what I should have. Then one day you meet somebody else and you end up getting married, and okay, so you got a planet revolving around you now, you know. Probably each one looks at the other a little bit. I'm the center of the tension here, and you're the body that's revolving around me, you know. And we still haven't quite got, you know, it's us, you know. And then one day you have children, and all of a sudden you find out, hey, there's a lot more going on in this world than just me. And suddenly you begin to, hopefully anyway, it begins to be about somebody besides you. It becomes about your kids maybe and your family that you are now starting, that you now are watching grow, and the things that take place. And one of the things that we talk about, the importance of family, and family values are very important. It's very important that we have family values. It's very important that we love and care for our family. But one of the things I want to stress right here, and I know some people disagree with me, but if you disagree with me, then I think you better go back and read the Bible again. But first of all, first thing in our life, the most important thing in our life is God. We put God first, and we don't have to worry about some of these other things. Oh, yeah, we'll have problems. We'll have difficulties. Things will go wrong, this, that, and the other. But if we put God first, He will watch out for us. God first, then comes family. And family should be the second most important thing in your life. And I realize, I know we're living in a corrupt world today. All you got to do is open your eyes and look around you. Know that we're living in a corrupt, sin-sick world today. And I realize sometimes to be good stewards of God, we got to slap family down a little bit once in a while and put them in their place. Because sometimes we get so engrossed in family that we will enable them to do things they shouldn't be doing. We will help them become the person who is drifting and straying away from God and doing things they shouldn't be doing. That's family. We got to take care of them. If we put God first, we will sometimes have to take that stand and do what they call tough love. But family. And of course, there's the church family, and we've mentioned that, and we here are family, and we look out for one another, and we try to take care of one another. And I remember back 2 years ago, and I think was just thinking back 2 years ago, this weekend, I was thinking 4th of July night, actually, as we were sitting over at my daughter's family's house and out on the deck and watching the fireworks 2 years ago, I remember sitting on the bench in front of my house watching the fireworks, and I was out there about 10 minutes. That was all I could take of being out there. That 2 years ago, basically, I was about to go join my heavenly family. At least I was very close to it. But I am thankful for the family here that stepped in and did things that needed to be done, for the ones that took care of the church and helped keep the church functioning and helped Mary in the things that she needed to do when she needed help. So I'm thankful for that, because when we're family, we stick together. But what is a family? A typical family or a familiar head is the father. It's the way God intended it to be anyway. And in fact, he reads in Ephesians 3:14-15, we're talking about father here. He says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." God set it up for man to be the family member, the head of the family. And I know you get into debates today, especially with some ladies who feel, you know, that they're really the top dog here and slap everything down and knock things around and change it up or whatever. God set out for man to be the head of the household, but he didn't set out for him to be the dictator either. And we're supposed to be, as a family unit, working together, loving one another, trying to take care of one another. That's what God set us out to be. But God is the Heavenly Father. And we as a world seem to have forgotten a lot of that. We want to put God out of the picture. Knock God off his pedestal, so to speak. And, oh, that's just some figment of your imagination. That's just some fairy tale that started out thousands of years ago to make you feel better, but God doesn't really exist, and blah, 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 you know. When you take God out of the picture as our Heavenly Father and really take him out of our lives, all of a sudden we start to have problems. Some of you here remember back when they decided that prayer was no longer needed in schools. Some of you here remember back when we had prayer in schools. A couple of us do anyway. You know, we started off the school day with prayer. Some even started the school day off with a reading from the Bible. And you think back, and even those of you that don't remember it, look back historically then. The world was a better place, really. You didn't have the problems in school that you have today. You didn't have to worry when you sent your child to school if some maniac was going to come in with a gun or a knife or something and try to kill X number of people just so they would go down in history as being the one that did all of this. That's insanity. We didn't have some of the other things that go on because God was still there. God was still welcome there. But we booted God out. And again, I get flack for this sometimes, and people think I'm a bad person probably for saying this. I don't want prayer back in school now. I don't. I want somebody, if they want to pray, to be able to pray. But I don't want the public prayer back. Because now you don't know what kind of a prayer it could be. It could be an Islamic prayer. It could be a Buddhist prayer. It could be any kind of prayer. Just like one city council, and I forgot what state it was in, but I think it was in Florida, if I remember correctly, recently decided they would have different religions do the invocation to. Okay, this sounds good, you know. So one of the people that had been doing it in the past and got disinvited this time when it became public was a Wiccan priest. So he was giving a Wiccan or witchcraft prayer as part of his invocation. That's what would happen if we put it back in school today. And I know some people think I'm wrong for thinking this way, but I want you to think about it that way. Do you want your children, your grandchildren, subjected to that? I don't. But we took God out of our lives. We took God out as head of the family. And we replaced him with somebody else. And really, when it boils down to it, if you replace God with somebody else, there is really only one other head of the family, so to speak, that you can replace him with. A lot of times, when you remove the father's removed from the family, there may be a stepfather come into the picture. And I want you to kind of look at it this way. When you replace God, Father God, as head of the family, who's the option coming into the picture? There's only one other option, and that's the devil. And we make the devil then the head of the family. And we turn our family over to him, and we let him control what's going on in the family. And that's what the world has come to today. We put the devil in charge and said, you're in control of this family now. And we see what we've got. A big mess. But God tells us in his word that we are part of a family. And I want to talk today about the family that we experience here in church. Because he tells us that we become part of his heavenly family. And how do we become part of the family? First of all, to become part of the family of God, it says in Titus 3:7 that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We become part of the family when we are justified by His grace. What is that? That means that when Jesus Christ gave His life on the cross of Calvary for forgiveness of our sin, and we accept the work that was done there into our life, and we welcome Him into our life, we then become part of the family of God. There's a song that we used to sing, and I don't know that I've heard it in a long time, but it's, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." And I don't remember all the words in order, but part of it's joint heirs with Jesus, washed in His blood. We become part of the family of God. And as I said, as a part of that family, we become heirs. My wife and I sometimes, as we're cleaning house and stuff, or we go up into the attic and we look at all the stuff that's piled up in there, we look at each other and say, "Well, that's our kids' inheritance. Just don't worry about this mess up here. It's their inheritance. Let them clean it out. Let them take care of it." I've told my youngest daughter many times she needs to learn how estate sales are run, because that's her inheritance. But as a family, rich or poor, you become an heir. Now, when my wife's dad and stepmom were nearing the end of their life and they were having to go into a nursing home, her dad invited us over to their house, and all the kids were there. And he says, "We're going into a nursing home, and here's your inheritance." And we went through and we picked out what we wanted, you know, and some of the things I picked, you know, I even got to pick out stuff too, you know. And I picked out something that I wanted, and it was a Dr. Pepper thermometer. I've still got it. And so that became my inheritance from him. But I became an heir to that then. And so I know everybody thinks an heir has got to be somebody that's got a fortune coming. Well, guess what? If you're a Christian, if you're a member of the family of God, you've got a fortune coming. And it's not in the sense that people think of a fortune. But we're going to be living in a place where it says the streets are paved with gold, so don't worry about all that stuff, you know. It's all taken care of. More than we can really imagine, and we become heirs of the family of God. He welcomes us into that family. You know, God created us, first of all, He didn't create us to go through the muddle that we got ourselves into. What we're into right now was never part of God's original plan for man. He wanted man to fellowship with Him, but man could not pay attention and just follow a couple of simple rules. And they were, don't eat of those two trees. That's it. We all have to live by rules every day. Do you think about how many rules you have to live by? And Adam and Eve couldn't follow two simple rules. They had to break one of them. And they would have broken the other one later on if they'd been given the chance. James chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which He hath promised to them that love Him?" We become heirs. He goes on in Galatians and said, "If you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." You read back at what God promised Abraham. Isaac became an heir of Abraham's. Jacob became an heir. And on down the line, and as born again Christians, as children of God, we become heirs of that promise. The Bible tells us some wonderful things about what we've got to look forward to, but it doesn't tell us all of it. And sometimes I wonder if we could really even imagine or contain ourselves if we knew all that God has in store for us. Children of God, think about it. You know, when it comes to family, as I said before, you've got two choices. You're either part of one family or another. What's that? There's something out, and I forget the exact number here, but it's something like 6 degrees of separation or something like that. And what it is, somebody came up with this idea that if you go back so many generations, you eventually all become related to everybody. That's the whole theory behind it. Everybody's related to everybody going back so many generations. And he stopped to think about it. I don't know if that particular number's correct, but you get a lot more people into your genealogy. If you go further, you go back. And I jokingly tell people, you know, George Washington's in my genealogy. Of course, his last name happened to be Unger, but it was George Washington Unger, you know. And Napoleon Bonaparte, but his last name happened to be Elliot. But we think about that, you know, if we go back. If you want to go all the way back, you've got two choices here, which family you're in. You're either in God's family or you're in the devil's family. And people may look at me and say, oh, well, I'm a nice person. I do good deeds. I feed the hungry. I help take care of the poor. I do this. I do that. Great. But unless you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're still in the devil's family. And guess what? Contrary to some people's thoughts, he doesn't care that you do those things. You can be as good as you want to be. He's got you. Because until you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, he's got you. No need for him to struggle to get you. No need for him to try to win you over. He's got you. You're his. As a kid growing up, did any of you ever wonder and wish that you'd been born into a different family? I didn't. And I don't know what that would, but I've heard people talk about that, you know. Oh, I said, no. Well, guess what? You're born into the devil's family. It's just simple as that. And there's only one way to get out of it, and that's through Jesus Christ. That's through accepting his work and him becoming your elder brother and God becoming your father. And when we do that, then we get into God's family. Does the devil like it? No, quite honestly, for some people, he probably gets pretty well ticked off. And I'll have to be honest here, for some people that do it, that become Christians, he could care less. It's okay. They're going to get to heaven, okay, but that's about it. You know, they're not going to shake the world. They're not going to change anybody else's life. They're not going to do that. Maybe they're a almost closet Christian, for lack of better words. You know, he don't care. But when you become part of God's family and you begin to try to do things for God, you begin to go out and work for God, you begin to try to get people won over to Jesus Christ, and you begin to do these things, the devil didn't like that. And of course, he's going to do some things to try to give you some problems. And that's just the way it goes. You know, I've heard people all the time, oh, man, you get saved, your life's going to be wonderful. It's going to be that bed of roses that you've always dreamed about. My wife likes roses, and she has rose bushes planted. And I know every time I have to pull weeds around those rose bushes, I get stuck. Invariably, even if I got gloves on, I get stuck. So yes, every rose bush has some thorns. And yes, we have some wonderful promises, but there's some thorns in it once in a while. And that's the devil stabbing us, trying to say, back off. You know, you don't want to do this, back off. You know, but we're part of the family of God when we become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. When we accept his blood and what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. Our earthly family. And, you know, I try to be honest with people. You know, some people I only like to tell you the good things. Ah, it's just so good. But some earthly families can be downright rotten. You know? That's life. But God's family, if we're really serving God the way we need to be, I'm not going to say we're perfect, because we're not perfect. We're still a work in progress. And we boo-boo once in a while, and we make mistakes once in a while. Sometimes we get on each other's nerves. Sometimes we aggravate one another. Sometimes we may do some things we shouldn't do. But the Bible tells us, though, when we come and we say, Father, I goofed. You know, think about it. David, the man that said God was after God's own heart, how many mistakes he made? Horrible things he did, really. Look at it. He did some horrible things. I mean, sending somebody out so they're going to get killed is a bad thing. But he knew how to ask for forgiveness. And when we mess up, we can ask for forgiveness. As a parent, a human parent, an earthly parent, when your kids do what you tell them not to do, and sometimes they make you want to pull your hair out, it gets a little bald on top. Boy, if Christopher ever has kids, he's got a head start on that part. But anyway, when they ask for forgiveness, we forgive them. Well, we're supposed to anyway. And I know with the world today, that doesn't always ring true, that some parents, I'm never going to forgive you for this. You know, you looked at me wrong, and I'm never going to forgive you for that. But our Heavenly Father forgives us. The bad thing is that some of us get into the idea sometimes, oh, God will forgive me. I can do whatever I want. His grace is sufficient. His grace has forgiven my sins. His grace has forgiven all my sins in the future. Oh, I can go out and sin all I want right now because they're already forgiven. And that's a doctrine that's being taught out there right now too. I can sin all I want to because God's already forgiven all my sins in the future. You got to ask for that forgiveness, and you got to not push it too far. Because he also tells us, and I know this goes back to the Old Testament, and some people like to throw the Old Testament out, but he says, my spirit won't always strive with man, and someday there's a limit that gets reached. But when we realize that we mess up once in a while, and we go to God, and we say, Father, forgive me. And let's face it, every last one of us mess up once in a while. I don't care how good we think we are, we mess up. And there are times we have to say, Father, forgive me. And sometimes I even say, Father, forgive me the things I did I shouldn't do that I didn't even know I did. I try not to do things that are questionable. So I don't want to take a chance. God's family. Yeah. If we look at things in the natural and the way it is in the world today, sometimes our earthly families can downright stink. And deodorant won't help the problem. But our heavenly family, the family of God, is everything we could ever dream about. It's everything we could ever possibly desire. Think about it. A family where you can spend eternity in the presence of God. Or the other option is a family where you will spend eternity in the presence of the devil. Two choices. Those who've accepted Jesus Christ, it's God. Those that haven't, it's the devil. Simple as that. And I know people don't like to hear about the devil. Don't preach about the devil. That might upset somebody. Don't preach about sin. You don't want people to feel bad. You want people to leave feeling good. Everybody going to leave here today feeling good? Or we sometimes leave here feeling convicted. I'd rather you leave here feeling convicted, maybe even mad at me, but make it to heaven, than you leave here feeling good and everything is wonderful and not. God's family, that's the family we want to be a part of. We don't have a choice about our earthly family, but we have a choice about being part of God's family. And Father, today I ask you, if there are any that are listening to this program throughout the world today, Father, wherever it may be, that desires something better in their life, that's never accepted Jesus Christ, and maybe even some are living in a place where you're not even talked about, you're not even taught, but they hear this word, Father, and the Holy Spirit convicts them, Father, and shows them, Father, that you are what they need in their life. I pray, Father, as this word goes forth around the world through the internet, Father, that souls would be convicted, that lives would be changed. And we give you praise and we give you glory. We've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.